Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock, and it's Thursday, and it's September 28th. And although I thought the show was on at 10, Ann and I are going to be doing the show at 9 o'clock for a while on Thursday mornings. So 9 o'clock Thursday mornings. I am Michael Kohlberg. Mm-hmm. I'm in Hudson, New York this morning. And I am a psychotherapist in New York City and in Hudson.
And I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm here, an astrologer in New York at the Bright Red Desk. And for some reason, I'm waking up at, like, god-awful early morning. Michael is always up early. But I'm, like, awake. And, like, I had this show in for 9 this morning, because we did 9 last week, too, I think. So we can go back to 10. We can be 9. I'm whatever works. But we are here with Scorpios talking, because there's a lot going on in the heaven. And Michael and I were just having a conversation about putting the rope down. And not playing tug of war with people. There is a big aspect in the sky, Jupiter opposite Uranus. And Uranus, of course, is, Jupiter is, let me have a relationship with you. And it's opposite Uranus and Aries. Let's have a struggle. Let's have a tug of war. And Uranus says, I don't want to play those rules anymore. And so he puts the rope down. Now in the world, Hugh Hefner died last night. And, of course, he was Jupiter with the abundance of women and beauty and relationships opposite Uranus, an iconoclast who said, I'm going to do it my way. And he took off. He put the rope down last night on the same day that Jupiter was opposite Uranus. And Pluto, the planet of power struggles, but also the planet of sex. Pluto does have a good side, is stationing to go forward. So Michael's saying he's not getting any power struggles with people, putting the rope down. So we're kind of like, all right, we can move to 9. We can be at 10. I'm easy, whatever. But the concept of no power struggles, put that rope down, or change Uranus, your behavior, towards the relationships you have, because the power dynamics are shifting. So it's really big, big week. And, of course, Pluto also is a war planet. So I'm a little nervous because the little guy, Rocket Man over there in Korea, has Pluto stationing on his sun, and we've invaded countries. Countries have invaded countries on Pluto stations, and also Pluto stations are Earth events. So we have a huge volcano blowing up in Bali.
And there are 3 of them.
There's 3 of them. Wow, I missed the other 2. Where are the other 2?
One is in the Pacific.
Uh-huh.
One is in Mexico, but they're all considered the ring of fire.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Mexico was part of it, but it is.
Well, it's the east coast of the ring, because it's the Pacific plate, because we're drifting. You know, the United States used to be part of Africa back when we were all one big thing, and if you look, we fit into Africa and Europe. If you roll us over, like if you take out the Atlantic Ocean, we kind of tuck in like an old cookie. So we've been floating to the west. So that's why the Ring of Fire is so excited.
The only thing that's saving me now is that I feel so untethered when you said that, drifting, I thought immediately, I immediately thought of this quote from Mae West.
Mm-hmm.
I was Snow White, but I drifted. So I think of things like that all day.
Yes, I like that.
Which is kind of saving me.
I was Snow White, but I drifted. I like that, yeah.
I was Snow White, but I drifted. Yeah, it's kind of saving me.
Yeah.
So I just have the most inappropriate humor going through my head a good deal of the time.
Yeah. Well, that's Uranus's humor, too. Uranus is, you know, it's the George Carlin kind of thing, or the humor, or the David Chappelle, where you say it and people go, what'd you just say? And, you know, not humor for publication, but humor that makes you happy, right? You wouldn't tell people because they'd go, what was... I know I have a little bit of a gallows humor, and I laugh at things that other people think are appalling, which I try not to show too much, but I do find it kind of it does come out. So what are you thinking? What are some of your humorous stuff? Share.
I don't know. It's all situational. It's just my take on
your take on things.
Whatever that moment is. It's not...
Well, my take on barking dog, you know, I'm calling barking dog. They eat dogs in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
So Kim Il-jung is telling Donald, you're an annoying dog. I'm going to come find you, and I'm going to cook you and eat you.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, I don't think he even knows he was insulted by being... I don't know what dotard means. I have to go look that up.
Oh, it's a derogatory term for an elderly person.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool. All right, good to know.
There was a whole list of arcane
insults.
Yeah, and this one, I don't remember because I read it really quickly. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it probably emerged from a Korean translator,
mm-hmm.
Google attempts.
Okay.
To translate something in Korean.
Mm-hmm. A senile old man. I like that. An old man. Yeah. So, and we have the controversy over the kneeling and the standing. And, you know, these people clearly don't play sports because the coaches say kneel when someone goes down on a football field or a soccer field or a baseball field. People kneel to stop the play. And it's a sign of respect. It's like we fight, fight, fight. But when someone's injured, nobody cheers the injury. We all are quiet. We wait to see what happens. And the players kneel. They go down on one knee, like a genuflect, to pray for the strength of the player and also to stop the play. Because if you're on your knees, clearly we're not running around.
Right. So how's that related to?
So what he's doing is he's kneeling during the national anthem, which is a sign of respect for the fallen in his country. So the first time he did it, he sat. And then the next time he thought about it, he kneeled. And the kneeling, that's what it is. It's a sign of respect for the person who has fallen. So,
right, but the... Mm-hmm.
Well, all the people that are going, I stand. It's like, well, you don't understand athletics. Yeah.
But the first time he sat.
I know, the first time he sat.
No, wait.
Yeah.
So the idea was not, let me do something that's going to show respect.
Right.
It was, let me do something that's going to show displeasure with what is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to find a way of doing it with some elegance and dignity.
Yes.
So I'm going to find a way of expressing what real respect is.
Yes, which is the kneeling.
Right. But it didn't come from, you know, it emerged from an attempt to be a little bit like a docent,
mm-hmm.
at a museum.
Yes.
Showing us where we are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. But all these people that go, I stand. I'm like, oh, please. You know, like, you guys need to be black and worry about getting shot or having your kid shot because it walks through a neighborhood. And, you know, we're killing black people. And David Chappelle had a really great piece. He said, you know, black lives matter. He said, you guys, it's a job. You can take your blue off. We can't take our skin off. We're blue. We're black forever. And, you know, and it is. The Uranus Jupiter, the righteousness, the anger, you know, they're burning NFL jerseys. I'm like, oh, please, you know. I don't understand. But I get the opposition. I totally see it. You know, we're peacefully standing. We're holding respect. You know, we've got Donald yelling at us, and now everybody else is all inflamed. It's dog, you know, I love that they keep using the phrase dog whistles. It's dog whistles for the racists. And,
I mean, my experience is that I'm not following it.
Okay.
Which
is totally cool.
Just
yeah.
Very peripherally. But it all feels energetically like it's like having a discussion about Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I am very against,
mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter, because I wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal in Hudson.
Is it? Yeah.
Run pretty much by white people with oppositional defiance syndrome who've latched onto It. No, I'm not kidding.
No, I know. I just, you're so cute.
And the reason
I love you, Michael, when you say things like that.
The reason I have issues with it is because it's divisive. So it's playing into exactly what they say they're trying to avoid. It's like all lives matter, period. We are all equal.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's better. Nobody's worse.
Right.
And if I understand all of the reasoning. I agree with a lot of the reasoning why it's important to take a look at what do we need to do in order to make things more equal.
Yes.
Because they're not. And so there needs to be ways in which we can rebalance things, and it's worldwide.
Yes,
you know it's getting sucked into a more primitive conversation than the one that we need to have.
Yeah,
is how I look at it.
Yeah, I get it, but I also, you know, you and I are both members of discriminated against parties.
Yes,
and you know, I know with the. I watch the women. Sometimes I vote single issue. You know, I'll vote for the woman. You know, when I go to New York, I don't know who all the judges are, but I vote for the women, you know, just so there's more of them on there, on the courts. So I've been known to do sexist voting. My friend Tom, he's like, I'm single issue. I'm gay. I vote gay, you know, whatever their position is, I'm gay. So it also is recognizing. And I've been paying a lot of attention to it lately because Hillary's book came out. I bought it. I've been reading it. I've been paying attention to the misogyny. And I know when she was running, I was kind of like thinking, oh, God, we had such racism with Barack. I can't imagine the misogyny when Hillary's president. That said, I'm still going to vote for a woman. And she didn't win, fine. Or she won, but she didn't serve, or she didn't win the Electoral College or whatever. But what I've become aware of is the level of women now on different TV talk shows and different things saying, yes, I used to put up with it, but I'm not putting up with it anymore.
Right.
That was just the way it was. But
that's
now
fine.
I'm calling it out.
Right. But that's a different conversation.
But that's the same thing. It's
I don't think
we're
so.
We're calling it out.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think
don't
it's
think
the same
so.
Thing. No. That's not like saying the equivalent would be to say women only.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I used to put up with it. I'm not going to anymore. And this is what I used to put up with. And this is what I'm saying no to.
Right. But when
is,
Ruth Bader,
wait. Is very helpful because it's taking people along with your thought process.
Right.
When Ruth Bader Ginsburg says what she said yesterday.
What'd she say yesterday?
That it was an that sexism had to do with the election results.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, like, chewing on it. I love her.
I love her, too.
Love her. But I'm really chewing on it. It's like, right on the fence because that's a part of it.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're sexist.
Whoa. Let me finish. That's a part of it. But there were a whole bunch of other characteristics. In other words, it may be overemphasizing one layer of diversity.
Yes.
There are a whole bunch of layers of really shitty diversity that played into it.
Yes.
And we're watching one that is totally out of control at the moment.
Right.
So, I mean, two examples of it are, and I'm going to end, I'll stop talking after that, but for the very first time since Jean died, I burst out laughing when I read something, which I'll read you. It was in the New York Times, but I mean, it really cracked me up. And it's very much on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a book review in the New York Times Book Review.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book is The Misfortune of Marianne Palm, which I have not read, by Emily Culleton.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about this woman named Marianne Palm, a mother of two from fashionable Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn, married to a trust fund poet who works part-time in the development office of her daughter's prestigious private school. Well, she turns out she's embezzled a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just, it doesn't matter. But then we get to, because I'm just reading along, and this is a good part. All of this makes for a witty sneakily feminist kind of crime story. At one point, Marion contemplates her lack of a moral compass, her inability to feel guilt, and laments that it has not taken her farther in life. There is a possibility that lack of guilt in men is socially more acceptable and admired. But I burst out laughing because it's just, it lays it out and then she laments it hasn't taken her further in life.
It should have gotten further.
Well, no, it should not. I mean, it shouldn't take anybody further in life.
Right.
But it at least points to the fact that it's taking an awful lot of people.
Pretty far
at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And which brings us to the two things that I think are most important mm-hmm. at the moment. I mean, in this conversation.
Okay.
It's the Alabama Senate race.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is
Alabama.
It's illustrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of if there's no way that I can make North Korea worse than Roy Moore.
Okay.
Kind of like, what do you call it? You know, if you have your own sewage system, your own private sewage system.
Septic tank.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Why is it the same thing?
They're in the septic tank. I mean, you want to go through it and see what's in there?
Oh, no. That's why I'm a wannabe Scorpio. I'm not a real Scorpio.
Right. So it's...
Real Scorpios go through septic tanks.
It's not me. It's just you only... It's like when Michelle Obama said, when they go low, you go high.
Right.
Well, there's a limit. And both of those... are beyond it.
What?
Like, you don't need to understand more. It's just like they've crossed the threshold to...
Alabama and...
that guy.
Korea. That guy. Okay.
And, you know, the criminal, it's a criminal family running a country.
Yes.
And we have one.
Yeah.
So there's no point in having a discussion about who's better. It just, it's not okay is the point.
Right. Right.
And so where do we need to pay attention? In my opinion, It's things in Puerto Rico are horrifying.
Yes.
And it's getting very, very little coverage.
Yes.
And there's an island, and they're stopping aid from getting through. They're not allowing other countries to help them.
I know.
And we're all going about our business. And there's certain things, on this planet where you have to stop going about your business and go, no, we need to stop everything
and fix it
and address this.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Donald even knew they were citizens.
I don't know. Yeah. It's irrelevant. It's that he stopped aid from going there.
Right.
And so he acted as though he had power over them.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if he thought they were citizens or not. He acted as though... he had authority over them.
Right.
And with authority comes responsibility.
Right.
And he acts with one without acknowledging the other.
Right.
And it's that kind of behavior that I'm talking about. It's so important right now. It's that's why it's like, what can you do? Like, don't talk. Everybody's got to shut up and start mm-hmm. acting. As I guess what I'm coming to.
Well, but I think also the first thing is you have to change your mind, the first thing is the communication, the talking, and the actual, okay, now that we figured it out. Now, I had Ruth Bader Ginsburg, somebody once, I didn't realize she came out and said Hillary's race was sexism. Well, a couple whatever ago, she said, I love Ruth, she goes, they said, how many women on the Supreme Court? She goes, 9. And the guy was shocked, and she said, well, you don't think it's weird that there's 9 men on there. Why would it be weird that there's 9 women?
Right.
And the reporter went, you know, homina homina. And I think that, you know, because that is her, you know, reality, like, well, why not 9 women? And I think our understanding as we migrate this and we say, okay, how do we get there? Now, I had a little Twitter rant or a little Facebook rant This woman is younger than me, probably about 8-9 years. Her parents and my parents were good friends, and a Facebook friender because, you know, whatever. And so they did the protesting about the thing and how horrible it was and people kneeling and yada. And I went through, and there were probably about 25 of her friends weighing in and agreeing. And I said to every single one of them, I said, you have a white face. You have a white face. Till you can walk a mile and not worry about your kid getting shot or you getting shot, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a little racist. And I just did it with all of them. And then, of course, she had to explain who I was, which was pretty funny. Well, she's normally a really nice person. I don't know. But I was also very aware of, you know, I called out 20 people in Pittsburgh, some player, friends of hers from Pittsburgh, saying, you know, you're racist. And that's what he's doing. He's trying, it's a country where we're allowed to express our opinions. We're allowed to get down and say, hey, my experience is this, you know, when Donald was grabbing pussy and that whole thing was up, I asked a room. I said, how many in this room, and male and female both raised their hand, had been abused physically, sexually by people in positions of authority? And they all, virtually everybody in the room raised their hand. So these are universal things that as we talk about them and we start saying, this is, you know, and now we're abusing Puerto Rico. I mean, I've petitioned, I've called my congressman Schumer and Gillibrand are on it, you know, but it also is, oh, you know, I've sent money. There's a donation. Rose was dropping stuff off, you know, baby food and shit like that.
Right.
That they're going to truck down there. But, I mean, I have Puerto Rican friends. Their families are trapped on that island, and many friends that are Puerto Rican. And the lack of outcry is a little bit stunning to my mind, you know, because, but again, they're brown people. So they can go, hey, you know, we're brown. I think we all should kneel for Puerto Rico, too. It's not right what's going on.
That's what I'm
saying. I don't know how to fix it personally other than to, you know, do what I can do, which is donate money, donate stuff, and write nasty things on Facebook. But I, you know, it also, there's a little part of me that goes very frustrated and recognizing right now the energy is really stopped and dead and frozen and going to go forward in a couple of hours, 3:33 afternoon. But, you know, there's volcanoes erupting around the world. We're all our own little volcano. So.
Well, and so I don't have answers for this.
Yeah, I know. We don't have answers. It's universal. We're talking about it. People go, well, what would you do? How do you get more out there?
I don't have a break from this.
You don't have a break? Meaning what?
Meaning this inequality is front and center at all times.
Yes.
I mean, I can put it aside if I'm working with clients.
Yes.
I can put it aside completely if I'm working with couples because then I'm very much in their relationship and trying to help them with that. If I'm working with individuals, I'm not successful in putting it aside so much because a significant part of what I think each of us needs to do at the moment, but I could be wrong, I mean, I certainly doubt myself, is because nothing's moving forward. There is nothing that I do that I see progress from unless I do the whole thing myself.
Right.
Ranging from trying to sort out a problem with this house, you know, like, and arrange for some physical help because I need it. That doesn't, like, I've never had an experience lately in the past year of anything actually working. So clearly I'm on my own. And I'm on my own on every level. And what that means to me is I can be a victim, which I'm not. I don't feel that at all. I can go, so how are you with this on your own? And I go, it's way better than saying I don't want to be by myself and putting up with whoever or whatever shows up.
Right.
So then I go, what's the point of being alone? And the point, I think, is to get really clear about who am I? And is what I'm thinking, is what I'm doing in congruence with what needs to happen right now and what my responsibility is because you can't take on responsibility for everything. There's a play called Plenty, which was magical play. I think it was David Hare, I think. And it ended up being a movie with Meryl Streep, but it was kind of not, they changed it. And but it was about a woman who was a real activist during the, I think, the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And then when the war ended, it was just clear she was nuts, basically. I mean,
oh,
I'm
really?
Simplifying it. So it wasn't a grounded activism. What we need is a grounded activism, mm-hmm. so that people are, each person is aware of who is my soul, mm-hmm. and what is the highest expression of this particular soul. And against that, make every decision that comes up. Like every single decision you make is this honoring who I am? Mm-hmm. So there'll be a whole lot less discussion on talk shows or, I mean, all the kind of, it's just noise. It's just a venting of energy. But if we each are internally grounded, in exploring who are we and why am I here now and what am I supposed to be doing, I think we're going to find out that we have more in common than we think.
Yeah.
And we're so far from that right now. And by getting sucked into these conversations that I consider to be, putting it very, very kindly, unhelpful, I think it's a way of continuing crowd control and distracting people.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think.
Because we're arguing about something rather than focusing on what we can do about the thing in front of us.
Because what difference does it make? What in these conversations, it's
That's
like it's
point.
Unlikely that anyone's mind is going to be changed. We're not getting 100% accurate news from any quarter.
Yes, totally.
We're getting sucked back and forth in splitting conversations.
Yes.
And we keep saying, oh, well, we have to try to come together. Well, how, in what way is continuing these conversations coming together? Mm-hmm. The way that people come together, and I taught a course, a law clinic at Yale Law School, mm-hmm. years ago, and I had such an amazing experience, mm-hmm. I and another therapist with some law students, and it was an adoption case, and it was a foster adopt situation. It was going to explode into the news, so the governor sent somebody representing the Attorney General's office, and the guardian ad litem was there. There were a lot of players mm-hmm. in the room, and over the course of time, it was resolved very amicably. But what I saw that was amazing was the biggest difference was between the first and the second sessions. And I think that there were five meetings over 6 months, mm-hmm. Was that shock that both of the women, the mothers, had, they were both single, had when they realized that the other person was showing up trying to take care of the kid as well. Mm-hmm. And that their goal was not to do harm, mm-hmm. Their goal was to do the best they could with this kid, mm-hmm. and that they each had a different job to play. Mm-hmm. They had completely different roles, and they could trust that the other person showed up vulnerable, mm-hmm. and unknowing, confused, mm-hmm. and angry, and hurt, and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but they showed up.
Right.
And we're not showing up. We're aiming, water balloons at each other, mm-hmm. filled with noxious substance.
Rotten tomatoes.
Or worse. And so there's not a whole lot of figuring out mm-hmm. going on.
Right.
Boats simply need to go to Puerto Rico. It doesn't matter who says you can't. Then it will go down to who's going to stop them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And if they go, mm-hmm. the punishment will be attempted when they come back. But if they do a lot of good and it really helps things, shame will befall those who try to punish them.
Right.
And it's more that that needs to happen. It's doing no harm is really important.
Right now, yeah.
And I've had murderous thoughts towards people. But,
you haven't killed anybody yet.
No.
No, yeah. No killing people. Murderous thoughts.
I called a service.
You called the what?
A service. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be so careful now not to get sucked into a conversation that drains us.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not mean ignoring anything.
No, it means paying attention. But
a lot of attention, okay. But on the highest level we possibly can, or get the obstacles to doing so out of the way.
Right.
Because those are things that are coming up to get healed.
Yes. 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 Yeah, we think of it as a giant. Stations often bring to head things that have been festering.
Yeah.
So pimples pop, boils land, volcanoes erupt. But what we also want to do is any health thing, go to the doctor. There's a really big health thing. Big health aspects this next couple days, too. So no fooling around with those folks. And on that note, the British lady, I think she should have told us we were done, but she hung up on us.
Oh.
The show is over.
Okay.
All right. So we'll talk next week.
Yeah, I hope
9 o'clock.
You have a good week.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
Go kick a little butt. I'm going to the passport office to renew my passport. That's my task for today.
Okay.
My external task.
I spent most of the afternoon dealing with Equifax.
Oh, okay. You turned off your thing?
Well, there's a bunch of ways. I mean, our business manager said the first thing to do is I forgot what
lock
it is.
Your account.
No, that's who I talked to. But they sent out a notice to everybody. It was the first thing to do is put a freeze on something or other.
On your account.
I don't remember.
On your account. Mm-hmm. Your credit reporting when they go to credit report that they're
But then there's four other places to
yes,
do it.
Yes, TransUnion. Yeah,
yes, and there are four of them, and one of them makes it quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still engaged with that, but I got that done.
Okay, cool.
And how many years has it been? I got a notice that Gene's death certificate that we had to pay a huge amount of money to get expedited. Several months later will be sent to us, a form that is never used, that an annuity is demanding.
Really?
Because they can hold on to the money longer.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's at those moments that I have to watch my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to watch it say something that really reaches somebody.
Yes. But do it after you get the money in your pocket.
No, it's just, no.
Nope.
I think that has to be done at the exact second when it has the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm. So they want another death certificate?
They wouldn't accept his death certificate. They needed a long-form death certificate.
Wow.
Which is bullshit. Because his death certificate has the, cause of death is natural causes, which is all they care about. They want to make sure it's not something exclusionary.
Right, like suicide or something like that.
I don't even think that would matter, honestly, because it's not an insurance policy.
Oh, okay.
It's not. And anyway, so I watched this conversation go back and forth between the probate lawyer and the business managers, and really it was like several rounds. And I went... first of all, they are really trying to help me, but I'm also paying for each round.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay, this is not working. I went to the file cabinet. I mean, I could have responded to them, but I went to a file cabinet, got another copy of Gene's death certificate, saw who signed it, Googled the name.
Mm-hmm.
It Health Nuts came up with the name and the phone number. I called the phone number, said that I was Dr. Michael Kohlberg, and I would hold for Dr. Squillam.
Mm-hmm.
And she got on the phone, and I said, thank you very much. This is a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you can help me. And I explained what it was, and she said, Jesus. And she helped me. She showed me what to do. She absolutely knew who we were. Mm-hmm. And she assured me that what I needed would be on the paper that we had to get. Mm-hmm. But it's there's a way to fix things. Or there's a way to have tons of conversation about it that goes nowhere.
Right.
And that's what I'm seeing. The amount of conversation that's going nowhere has got to stop. And it's because people are overly full.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we have to stop it and contain that energy, mm-hmm. because it's that energy that promotes change.
Right.
You know, it's like you'll break through to something new if you don't dissipate the energy calling into a talk show.
Right.
Or listening to one.
Makes sense. Hmm. Interesting. All right, well.
Anyway.
I hope you get.
Sorry to lecture.
Not a lecture. It's the reality. It's what we got to do.
So. And I don't care for it.
No. Yeah.
Hmm. On a good note, I'm hearing from Gene finally.
Oh, good. He's stopping mm-hmm. in? Okay, cool.
That is good.
Yeah, that is nice.
All righty. Do you have a lot of people today?
No. I started 3, well, 3 to 11, so I got clumped then, but nobody told 3.
Okay.
So, and passport.
And where do you have to go for passport?
I have to go to
Rockefeller Center?
No, the post office, right a couple miles away. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I just have to go and sign and give them money and my pictures and all that crap.
Good.
It opens at 10, so. And I'm going to make kale chips today. That's my other list. I have this CSA thing where I have all these vegetables. And I had a lot of kale this week, so I'm making some kale chips in about 20 minutes. So, all good.
How do you slice it thin enough? Oh, you don't. You
kale,
don't.
You
can't. It's kale. Right.
Yeah. You just bake it like a little potato chip, and it gets crispy. It's pretty good. I put a little water and a little salt on it, and then, you know, so the salt is kind of like, you know, they're like chips, and then you break them until they're crispy, and they're good. I mean, you know, if you got to eat kale.
I like kale. I just read an article saying don't eat too much kale because it's got thallium, I think. Whatever it is, it comes up through the roots, that not something that you don't want a lot of in your body.
Okay.
A heavy metal.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah, like because I eat a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm not a big kale fan, but they give it to me in the CSA, so I have to use it. I mean, I don't have to use it, but I'm using it. Try and use all those vegetables. So, big hugs.
You too.
Love you, honey.
I love you too.
Week.
Bye.